Continue our meditations in that area with 1 Samuel 7. Verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Just to encourage our hearts regarding the Christian path. You know, it's interesting, and I've been so encouraged as I've come among Christians that were raised in Christian homes and have purposed to go on for the Lord in their lives. They've kept themselves pure from this world. And they've made themselves usable to the Lord. And I'm not trying to build any one of you up, but I'm just going to thank you for your example to me as a fellow believer. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I went hard into the world for a time. But the grace of God said, arrest that man. I'm thankful he did. But I'm just thankful for those that have a course, have started on a course, and have kept that course. In 1 Samuel 1, Hannah, you might say that started the course, didn't it, with Samuel? One who herself, if I could say it this way, was a Nazarite. Because when Eli had thought that she was drunken, she had pointed out to him, she had spoken in her heart, in verse 13, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken, and Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. What a terrible thing to be accused when the heart is really wanting a man-child, a Nazarite, one to come forth to be a help to the people of God in the particular day that she was in, to be accused of this. But she says, answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. And you go to number 6 and you find out the vow of the Nazarite, don't you? The Nazarite, you might say, refused that which was legitimate. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the Nazarite, that's not the issue. The Nazarite wants to live their life from the Lord, before the Lord, and wants to honor him in their lives. So that began. She says, I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And she had said in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Jehovah of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him all unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor upon his head. She knew in the state that the people were in, they needed a Nazarite. They needed a man-child. They needed someone to come in and help. So Samuel, the story is lovely, how Samuel went on, and just to look at his circuit of his life, he goes from year to year, and the first place he comes to in 1 Samuel 7, verse 16, is Bethel, the house of God. You go to Ephesians 2, And you find that which answers to that in my meditations, at least. Verse 19, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers, speaking to the Gentile believers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Peter 2, we have also verse 5. Ye are living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So Gilgal was the first stop on his circuit. You know, what is precious to God in this scene? His saints, the assembly, the house of God is precious. Our hearts need to be aligned as well, don't they? Aligned to what God values, what he is interested in. He's interested in his saints. What a privilege to love one another. And I'm not talking about just this company. How wonderful it is to appreciate your local assembly. And you remember the widow in Luke 21? She cast in all her living. You know, she could have said, well, have you seen the Pharisees and how they're behaving and the Sadducees? Have you seen the manner of life of those that were in authority, the chief priests and scribes? Have you seen that? I'm not going to support that. I'm going to go and find something else. No, she didn't say that. She cast in all her living to support what she saw was the work that God was doing in that present moment. She cast in all her living. We need to cast in all our living to support the house of God, to support what God is doing today. Then the next stop was Gilgal. You know, that was where, when the children of Israel, after 40 years in the wilderness, they came into the land. And they hadn't circumcised their children for those 40 years. So they went to Gilgal. After they crossed the Jordan, and they circumcised their children. And we can look at that in different ways, but I just think of self-judgment. You remember when they went out and fought the fights and they'd come back? They'd come back to Gilgal. They'd go out and fight that fight for faith. They'd come back to Gilgal. You know, for us to be successful in our Christian life, we need to value the house of God. We need to fight the fight of faith. We need to return to self-judgment, to judge self, to see if there may be any wicked way in me, to be before the Lord and ask him, to be open before him. But what a wonderful privilege, this circuit of faith. And Samuel went on this circuit every year. You know, as we go on our Christian pathway, maybe there's a time in our lives that we don't value the saints. But the next year around, we come back in that circuit of faith and we're valuing the saints of God. We're valuing the house of God. We're a little bit more with realizing that I'm not as much as I thought I might should think I am. Self-judgment, cutting off of the flesh, just separating from those things that honored. Now, another thing to remember, Samuel was a Nazarite. Samuel was one who began this circuit, separated unto the Lord. And we look at our own selves and maybe we're not where we should be. But you know, there's hope. We can look to the Lord. We can get into his presence. We can confess where there's been some departure. And we can ask him to enable us, to equip us, to make us usable. But be careful. To use us, we might say. We might ask him to use us, but be careful. He may have to make us usable. But how wonderful this circuit. So the next place was Mizpah. And I believe it has to do with watchtower, watchfulness. It can be a positive and a negative thing. But I think we need to be watchful, don't we? We need to be watchful of things that would come in. You remember Noah pitched the ark within and without. to keep that which was good within and to keep that which was bad without. And you know, there's others for the saving of their home. Moses' mother made a little ark. She pitched it. You know, there's a work for all of us to pitch, to keep that without, and keep that which is precious and good and wholesome within. Mizpah, watchfulness, watching in our own lives, watching and be a help in the assembly, watching and help for the Christian friends that we come into contact with in our lives. And then there's the thought of watching for the one that's going to come for us any moment. Any moment he'll come for us. So the circuit of the house of God, self-judgment, watchfulness. Where did he end up? Rhema, where he started. Rhema means heights, heights. I thought about that when I was meditating on this a few weeks ago, and heights. You know, oftentimes when there were those that lived in the high country, like Abraham, didn't it speak of communion and dependence? That's the key for successful Christian living, isn't it? Dependence and communion. So this circuit began, and he returned to Rhema. And then the next year, starting again, that same circuit. And each time, growing, we might say, in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then he built an altar. Worship. That's where it comes to, isn't it?